In our Bibles to Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4. And we have the beautiful picture here of Christ, our kinsman redeemer, pictured in Boaz. Now at this point, Boaz has entered a covenant betrothing Ruth to himself. Now God chose his people before the world was made, and he gave them to Christ to be his bride. And when he did that, Christ, God in Christ, betrothed his people to Christ. He covenanted to redeem them and marry them and bring forth life and children through them. But a nearer kinsman had first claim on Ruth. A nearer kinsman. And so the law of God had to be honored. This nearer kinsman had to be dealt with first so that the law would be upheld and magnified and Boaz could lawfully redeem Ruth and marry her. And that's true with us. The law of God had a claim on us. That kinsman, that nearer kinsman pictures the law in the sense that he had a first claim on Ruth and on Naomi. The law had first claim on us because we fell in Adam. We fell in Adam. And that law had to be honored. That law had to be upheld by Christ. Justice had to be satisfied. And so he must redeem us from the curse of the law in order to save us. If he's going to marry his bride and raise up children and give life in his bride, he's got to redeem us from that curse, from that law. So now when we look at Boaz, he won't rest until he's finished this work. And that was true of Christ. He came into this world and he would not rest. He said, I must be about my Father's business. And he would not rest until he could cry out from the cross and say, it is finished. Now on the cross, this is what I want you to see. On the cross, Christ redeemed his people from the curse of the law. So that now we belong to Christ. We're his purchased possession. And this is true before many witnesses. Those are my 3 points. First, we'll see the cross. Then we'll see the change. And then we'll see the charge. First of all, the cross. Now in verse 1, Ruth 4, verse 1, it says, then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside and sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. Now first we see, then went Boaz up to the gate. The gate of the city. The gate of the city was God's chosen place where judgment would be publicly exercised. That was the public place of judgment, was in the gate. According to God's own command, in the gate the judges were to publicly judge the people and they were to exercise just judgment according to God's holy, good, and just law. It says in Deuteronomy 16:18, God said, judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons or take a bribe, because that'll blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of righteousness. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow. That which is altogether just, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The gate is a picture here of the cross of Calvary. The cross is where God chose to publicly settle the judgment for his people forever. That's the place where he would exercise just judgment. He wouldn't wrest judgment. He wouldn't take a bribe. He wouldn't respect persons. That was the place where God would exercise just judgment. And when we see Boaz going up to that gate and calling the near kinsmen and calling those 10 elders, we see Christ going up to the cross in the most public way. The most public way. And he submitted himself under the law. That's what Boaz was doing here. That nearer kinsman and those 10 elders represent the law. And he's going there and submitting himself under that law. You notice when he went up to that place, he said, he told the nearer kinsman, sit down here. And he sat down. And he said to the elders, sit here. And they sat down. Boaz apparently himself was a judge. Most all the writers agree he himself was a judge. And he most likely was. He was a very powerful man. But he's coming there to submit himself to the judge and submit himself to the law. And that's Christ. Christ is equal with God. He is the judge of the whole earth. When he came into this world and he took flesh and he represented his people, he submitted himself to the law. He was made under the law. And he submitted himself to the law, to the scrutiny of the law. And the reason that God chose that gate of the city for his law to be upheld illustrates why God chose the cross. Judgment at that place was public record so that everybody knew it. It was public record. God would have this thing be known publicly. And that's why Christ was crucified before the whole world on a cross. Speaking of that cross, the Apostle Paul said, to King Agrippa, he said, the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely, for I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For the thing was not done in a corner. This thing was not done in a corner. Everybody, everywhere, throughout this world, knows about the crucifixion of Christ Jesus. They know it. This thing was not done in a corner. And that which Boaz was doing here in this most public way had to be done to uphold God's law before everybody. It had to be done so that he could lawfully and honorably take Ruth to be his bride, to redeem her and take her to be his bride. Now that's why Christ went to the cross. There was no other way, absolutely no other way. The only way justice could be meted out so that God's holy character is honored and his holy law is magnified, and at the same time God be a Savior, was for God to do it in the person of his Son and make his Son to bear that justice and at the same time satisfy justice for his people. It's the only way. When one was found guilty, you know where they were put to death? When a man was found guilty, worthy of death, you know where he was put to death? At the gate. At the gate. The Lord said, you shall bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die. The cross was the public place where God poured out just judgment. You want to see God's holy, righteous character? You want to see his righteousness? How just God is. When he made his Son sin for his people, he would not spare his Son. He will not respect persons. He will not. Where sin is found, God said, you shall judge the guilty. You don't let the guilty go free. And where sin is found, just judgment must be poured out. It must be poured out. Why is that? Because he was declaring the righteousness of God. Everything God is and everything God manifests to his people is seen in Christ. He was manifesting the righteousness of God. How God can be just and the justifier of those that believe on Christ. He did it because he is the rock and his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. That means there's no such thing as God just loving everybody and yet allowing some to perish in their sins. His love is just. It's in judgment. When he loves, he's going to save you by according to his love for you. Because it's in Christ. He's a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. The Lord's well pleased for our righteousness' sake. No, for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. There's God on Calvary's cross magnifying his law and making it honorable. Only God could do it. Only God could do it. There's no God else besides me, he said. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Now, brethren, I know that when we look at this picture, there's no blood being shed in the text. I realize that. But you look at this in type. And you see the gospel of substitution in what Boaz is doing for Ruth and for Naomi before the law and before the judge. Ruth and Naomi, the law stated, they were to go to the gate. And they were to go before the judges and before the near kinsmen and ask to be redeemed. They were to do that. But you see here, instead, Boaz is willingly alone, going in their place. And he's taking care of this matter for them. Because this matter of the law had to be settled. That's what Christ was doing at Calvary. Don't ever think that salvation in any way, remotely, depends upon something that you do. Don't ever think that. Salvation is of the Lord. He had to redeem his people because he had to fulfill his law that he might be a just God. And he had to save his people by that he might be the Savior. He did it. And when he comes, he's going to give life and faith so that he draws you to believe on him. So you can't even boast in your faith. Salvation's of the Lord. That's what we're seeing here. Boaz went to that gate alone. Ruth and Naomi didn't go. He went alone. Now, let me repeat this. Each of God's elect has to bear the just judgment of God. Every one of God's elect has to bear the just judgment of God. Just like all those who die without Christ will have to bear the just judgment of God. The soul that sinneth must die because the wages of sin is death. But Christ was made under the law and went alone to the cross and alone laid himself under the law of God. He took the sins of his people and he laid himself under the judge and under the law, and he himself suffered in the stead of his people. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now that's the picture in our text. Boaz is answering and upholding the law so that he can lawfully redeem Naomi and Ruth and take Ruth to be his bride. Did Christ accomplish it? Did he accomplish it? Scripture says Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That means, brethren, everybody Christ died for is redeemed. They are Christ's purchased possession. And he will have his purchased possession with him in glory for eternity, and not one shall perish. Because the very same judgment of God that demanded Christ die in their room instead now demands Christ give them life and bring them to glory with him. Because God will not judge them a second time. They've been judged. The judgment is settled. He said when the Spirit's come, he's going to convince you of sin, because you believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and of judgment, because the prince of this world is cast out. That's what he accomplished on Calvary's cross. Now, secondly, the change. There's a change in ownership made here now. There's a change in right made by what Christ accomplished at Calvary. And we see it pictured here. Verse 3 says, and Boaz, the near kinsman redeemer, he said unto the nearer kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants, that is, before these witnesses, and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, but if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. for there's none to redeem it besides thee, and I'm after thee. Now, the picture there is simply this, that the law had first right to us. The law had a right to us first. So that law had to be dealt with. But now look what this near kinsman said. I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi? What day thou take that field from Naomi's hand? Thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead. Remember her, he's a near kinsman because he was related to Ruth's husband, and she's dead now. And so the law said he has to marry her and raise up children so that the name of the dead will be upon his inheritance. He would marry her and have a child by her, and that firstborn son, the brother was to marry the dead brother's widow. And the firstborn son they had would have the name of the dead brother on it so that his name wouldn't be cut off. His name would go on throughout his inheritance. But when he did that, all that land and all that substance that he had redeemed would go to that firstborn son. And the kinsman heard that, and he said this in verse 6, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now the near kinsman had first right by law. And he has to be dealt with by Boaz so he can lawfully redeem. Now notice, when the kinsman heard Naomi was selling a piece of land of her hand, she had a piece of land. He said, I'll take that. The nearer kinsman said, yes, I'll take that. And the picture I think we have here is that you and I, the law is holy, just, and good, but you and I are sold under sin. We're sold under sin, just like Naomi is selling out here. And all the law can do to a sinner is take. All it can do is take. When it was just about taking from Naomi, he said, I'll do that. I can take. If you think you have life by the law is going to take that from you. You think you have righteousness by your works under the law? The law's going to take that from you. Remember what Paul said? I was blameless. As touching the law, I was blameless. Outwardly, it looked like I'd obeyed the law perfectly. But when the commandment came, when the law came, when it came into my heart, that spirituality of the law struck my new man, my new heart, it took everything I had worked and built. It took my land. It took all. Sin revived, and I died. I died. The law can take, and that's all it can do. But when that kinsman heard that he had to buy a person and give life in that person and raise up children of that person, the law said, I can't do that. I can't do that. I cannot do that. That near kinsman said, if I do that, I'll mar my own inheritance. That's the inability of the law to save, brethren. The law cannot give life inwardly. And the law cannot produce a righteousness of a man who is only a sinner. And the law can't put an honorable name on you and give you an inheritance. The law cannot do any of that stuff. Paul said in Galatians 3:21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness would have been by the law. He's saying that law wasn't given to give you life. That's not why it was given. The near kinsman heard that about life and giving fruit and all that. He said, I can't redeem it. But he bore witness that Boaz could. He said, you redeem it. You redeem it. He said, I cannot. And that's our gospel. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That's what was happening in type in what Boaz was doing before the law. The law couldn't redeem it, but the law bore witness, you can. You can. So Boaz redeemed Ruth to himself lawfully so that that law was upheld. And thus he confirmed, a confirmed change took place. Now here's the change. Look here in verse 7. Now this was the manner, this was a custom. This was a custom. Kind of like washing feet, kind of like a holy kiss, kind of like a woman wearing a burqa. This was a custom in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. Redeeming and changing of hands. Redeeming and changing of ownership. For to confirm all things, to settle this matter as a confirmed, finished work, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. This was a testimony. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. And so he drew off his shoe. He drew off his shoe. Now according to the law in Deuteronomy 25, it was a sign of shame and it was a sign of disgrace when a brother would not build up his dead brother's house by marrying his widow and raising up children. It was considered shame and disgrace. And so the woman, the bride, the woman, the widow, she was to come forth, the law said. And she was to loose the shoe off his foot. And then she was to spit in his face. And from then on in Israel, he was known in a shameful way as the house of him that hath his shoe loosed. That's what the law said. It was a great dishonor. But here, not only does Ruth not come forth, not only does Ruth not spit in the near kinsman's face, but here the nearer kinsman takes his own shoe off and gives it to Boaz. What's being pictured here? What's being pictured here? He confirmed the transaction by this. He bore testimony by this that Boaz had redeemed Ruth righteously and now she was his. Now what's that picture? Christ didn't come to dishonor the law. Christ came to honor the law. The law came before as a servant to Christ. And Christ came forth to honor the law. Now you remember when Moses stood before Christ in the burning bush? And Christ said, Moses, take your shoes off. Moses is a picture of the law. And the law took his shoe off and gave it to Christ. In our text, the law took his shoe off and gave it to Christ. And Christ filled those shoes. Christ filled those shoes. And he did it honorably. God's holy law was given as a servant of Christ, as a schoolmaster, to shut our mouths and declare us guilty before God until Christ came. And when Christ came, he honored the law and he redeemed his people from the law's curse that we might be justified by faith. That's what Paul said when he said, if there could have been life given by the law, it would have come by the law. Well, why was the law given then? He said, the law was a schoolmaster. The law was a schoolmaster until Christ came. But after that faith has come, what happens? We're no longer under the schoolmaster. The schoolmaster takes his shoe off and bears testimony, Christ has redeemed. Christ has redeemed. The law takes its shoe off and bears witness, Christ has redeemed. He's filled my shoes and done what I couldn't do for my people. He's redeemed them from the curse of the law. That's what he's done. And by him, All that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And so it's written, Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believes. Now do you think Ruth's going to go to that nearer kinsman anymore? Do you think she's going to go to that nearer kinsman and treat him like he's her husband? He's not her husband. He's not her redeemer. Boaz is. She's going to cling to Boaz. And that's why we don't go back to the law. looking to be redeemed and looking for works to help us to be accepted of God. We cling to Christ because He's redeemed us. The shoe's been taken off and put on Christ, and He's fulfilled it. And now the law is a witness to this. Now we come to the charge, the last thing, the charge. Verse 9. And Boaz said, see, here's a charge. Boaz gives a charge. He can lawfully give this charge because he just fulfilled the rite of redemption, and it's confirmed. So he gives this charge unto the elders and to all the people. You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's. Those were the, you know, Elimelech's two boys. This was one of these boys, man, Mahlon was, I believe it was Ruth's husband. Whichever one was the firstborn was Ruth's husband. I've bought it all, he said, of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I've purchased to be my wife. I've bought her to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. You're witnesses this day. There's the charge. He said, you're witnesses of this. And now watch. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders, all that was standing around bearing witness and all the elders, they said, we are witnesses. They answered the charge. We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah. They say to Boaz, do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. Christ arose triumphant, and God bore witness. God, the just judge, bore witness that Christ our Redeemer satisfied justice and purchased His people for Himself. The law bears witness. The law bears witness. Christ charges all His witnesses that bear witness of Him, that they all bear witness that He indeed accomplished the redemption of His people. Now let me ask you something. Was Boaz there redeeming everybody in the city? He was there redeeming Naomi and Ruth. He knew who he went to redeem, and he redeemed them. And he said, you're witnesses today, I redeemed her. I purchased her to be my wife. Christ came and he accomplished the redemption of a particular people who is his bride, and we bear witness of that. That's our witness. That's our testimony. Christ accomplished it. That's our gospel. He accomplished it. And not only do we bear witness, see those elders there? They bore witness. That nearer kinsman, when he took his shoe off and gave it to Boaz, he bore witness. And all those that were standing around there witnessing it, they bore witness. Listen to what the Scripture says. Now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. You could say the righteousness of Boaz without that nearer kinsman is manifested. But it's witnessed. That righteousness is witnessed by the law and the prophets. Just like that nearer kinsman and those judges and God and everybody bore witness that Boaz bought Naomi and Ruth, God and His law and all the prophets bear witness. Christ purchased His bride. He purchased His bride. And that righteousness of God is by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Just like we see Boaz going there, he wouldn't sweep that law under the rug. He wouldn't just take Ruth and say, I'm going to make you my wife. I don't care what that man says. No, he went and said, that man's got to be dealt with. This thing's got to be done lawfully. He was faithful. That's a picture of Christ who faithfully knew the law's got to be dealt with. It's got to be settled so that I can redeem my bride lawfully. This is lawful redemption. Lawful redemption. We're saved by lawful redemption. And there in Christ is where you behold the righteousness of God without the law. When Christ sends His redeemed the good news that He's purchased us, He does what He did to Ruth. We're going to see this next time. He marries us to Himself. And he creates life in us. He created a child in Ruth. And he puts his name upon us so that his name will never be cut off. And he gives us all that he purchased for us. Now you think about this. That prodigal son came, and what did the father say? Bring forth the best robe. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his finger, on his hand, and shoes on his feet. But it's not the shoe of the law. Christ doesn't take that shoe from the law and fulfill those shoes and then bring it to you and say, now here, you got to put that shoe on and fill it. He doesn't do that. He shods our feet with the preparation of the gospel. He makes us to walk through this world knowing Christ has redeemed us so that we'll be constrained by a law that is so much better than the law given at Sinai. It's the law of liberty. It's the law of redemption. It's the law of righteousness, the law of faith. It's the law of love. It's the law of God. We're moved and constrained by Christ himself. That's the shoes he puts on us. So if the Son sets you free now, Ruth was free now. She was free. She was free. She wasn't, she had, that near kinsman had no right to her anymore. She belonged to Boaz, a loving husband. And if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Just like Ruth. Now you just imagine this. I had to include this. Imagine Ruth's delight. The day before this, she was out there, a stranger, a Gentile dog, in a field gleaning, without a penny to her name, absolutely dependent on a handout. Today, she owns everything that Boaz owns. And it's hers to freely use as she will, according to his will. It's free. Free. And that's what we find out. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Isn't that lawful redemption good? That's what we're celebrating today, that lawful redemption. All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the picture that you've shown us. What a great redemption we have accomplished so lawfully and righteously. Lord, remind us constantly that because you would not pour out judgment on Christ until you made him sin, because you poured out judgment on him and satisfied justice, we see your righteousness, Lord, and that righteousness tells us that you will not condemn the innocent, and you will not let the guilty go free. And that righteousness tells us, Lord, you will never again charge one of your people with sin because Christ put it away. We have redemption. We've been purged of all the law's right to us. Lord, thank you for this lawful redemption by Christ our Lord. Thank you for his precious body and his precious blood. In his name we pray, amen.